Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Shirley Davis's book, and Sophie. I have to say, this one really got me thinking about how much time I spend inside my own head.
Right? Same here. This book is basically a manual for anyone who's ever lain awake at 3 a.m. replaying a conversation they had 5 years ago. Davis starts by naming that feeling, the tyranny of the hypothetical, and I felt seen immediately.
Oh, totally. She says our brains are wired to keep us safe by scanning for threats, and the what-if question is its favorite tool. But in modern life, that tool misfires constantly. We're afraid of a difficult conversation or a career change, not because of a real threat, but because of a story we tell ourselves about a potential future.
Exactly. And she makes this crucial distinction between productive fear and unproductive fear. Productive fear stops you from stepping into traffic. Unproductive fear stops you from asking for a promotion. The goal isn't to eliminate fear, it's to become courageous enough to act in spite of it.
Yeah, and I love how she reframes the question. Instead of what if I fail, she asks what if I succeed, or what if I learn something valuable. That simple shift really does change the energy from paralyzing to motivating.
And she introduces this concept of the comfort zone. It's a necessary place for rest, but it can become a trap. When you stay there too long, you stagnate, and the what-if questions actually get louder because you have no evidence to counter them.
So the antidote is what she calls courageous experiments. Small, low-stakes actions that test your assumptions. Like if you're afraid of public speaking, you ask a single question in a meeting. Each small success builds evidence that contradicts the fearful story your brain tells you.
I tried that this week, actually. There's a project I've been hesitating on because I was afraid of criticism. So I just sent a rough draft to a colleague and asked for feedback. It was terrifying, but she was helpful, and I realized the worst-case scenario I'd imagined was way off.
Good for you. And that ties into what Davis says about identity. She argues that we often hold a fixed identity. I'm not a risk taker. And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. She challenges us to adopt a growth identity instead.
Right.
And she applies Carol Dweck's mindset work, but makes it personal. She asks you to identify the what-if story holding you back and consciously write a new one. So instead of, what if I'm not smart enough to start this business? You write, what if I'm resourceful enough to figure it out as I go?
That's not blind optimism. It's strategic reframing. And she also gets practical about the physical side of fear. When you're scared, your body goes into fight or flight, shallow breathing, racing heart, and narrow thinking. You can't make good decisions in that state.
So she teaches box breathing. Inhale for 4 counts, hold for 4, exhale for 4, and hold for 4. It signals to your brain that the threat is over. And she emphasizes physical movement. A brisk walk can interrupt the cycle of anxious thoughts.
I've been using that breathing technique before stressful meetings. It really does help. But I think the most powerful section for me was about social fear, the fear of judgment, rejection, shame. She calls it one of the most underappreciated forces in our lives.
And the antidote is connection. She encourages building a courage community, a small group of trusted people who support you in taking risks. Not people who tell you everything will be fine, but people who tell you the truth and hold you accountable.
Yeah, and she warns against the trap of comparison, especially on social media. We only see the highlight reel, not the struggles. That's a great reminder.
One of the deepest insights is the distinction between fear and intuition. A lot of people confuse them. Fear is vague, repetitive, focused on worst-case scenarios. Intuition is specific, calm, focused on a single clear direction. Fear wants to keep you small. Intuition wants to help you grow.
How do you tell them apart? She suggests a daily practice of quiet reflection, even just 5 minutes. That stillness helps you hear the quiet voice of intuition beneath the loud noise of fear.
And then there's regret. She argues that the pain of regret is far greater than the pain of failure. Failure gives you data, Regret is a permanent state of wondering. She asks readers, what will your 80-year-old self regret not doing? That question is a powerful guide.
I think about that a lot. The discomfort of taking a risk is temporary, but the regret of not taking it can last a lifetime. She encourages us to make decisions our future self will thank us for, not decisions our present self finds easiest.
And she's not advocating for reckless behavior. She introduces calculated courage. You ask, what's the worst that can happen? What's the best? What's most likely? Often, the worst case isn't that bad, and the best case could be life-changing.
There's also a big emphasis on self-compassion. She says many of us are our own harshest critics, and that amplifies fear. Self-compassion isn't letting yourself off the hook. It's treating yourself like you'd treat a friend. When you feel safer, you take more risks.
And perfectionism. She reveals it as a form of fear, the fear of being judged as not good enough. The antidote is a commitment to progress, not perfection. Good enough isn't mediocrity. It's recognizing that done is better than perfect.
That's the sculptor metaphor. The first version is rough, but you can't refine a blank block of stone. You have to make the first cut, even if it's imperfect.
The book culminates in a call to action. She says the time to live beyond what if is now. We can't wait until we feel ready. Readiness is a myth. She challenges readers to take one small step towards something they're avoiding within the next 24 hours.
Action is the antidote to anxiety. When you take action, you take control. You move from being a passive victim of your thoughts to an active creator of your life.
And she paints a picture of what that life looks like. It's not without fear, but fear becomes a companion, not a commander. A life of curiosity, growth, and connection. You stop asking, what if I fail, and start asking, what if I fly?
For me, the takeaway is that the life I want is on the other side of the fear I'm avoiding. The only way to get there is to take the first step, even if I'm trembling.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
That's a good deal.
It is. So, Shirley Davis's book is ultimately about reclaiming your power. The what if question will never go away, but you can learn to answer it differently. Instead of letting it shut you down, you can let it wake you up. We'll see you in the next one.